Welcome to Music Journeys. I'm Mike Foley. We are welcoming back Morgan James for an all-new edition of Music Journeys. So we first met Morgan back in 2021. She released an incredibly soulful holiday album. Couple years later, she joined us to explore Nobody's Fool, which marked a return to the R&B sound reflected in her 2014 debut album, Hunter. In this episode, it's all about her latest release, Soul Remains the Same, which finds Morgan as creative as ever, soulfully recreating iconic tracks from AC/DC, Living Color, Metallica, Ozzy Osbourne, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, and more. It's unlike anything you've heard, and as Morgan likes to say, it doesn't matter what the type of material artists lend their voice or instrumentation to, their soul remains the same. Now, in this extended podcast, Morgan James tells us about a memorable experience she had since our last chat, singing on stage with Chaka Khan. And quickly, just to wrap up, we had our Fast Five with Morgan back in 2021 when we had that first chat. We did a holiday edition. We're running out of questions. But thankfully, we threw a couple questions at Morgan James inspired by a listener. Sam Smith of Columbus Alternative High School gave us a couple. She might give us a new Fast Five version. But anyway, we threw a couple from Sam to Morgan James, so you will hear those responses as well in this podcast version. We're thrilled to welcome back Morgan James, our featured guest for a third time on Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hi, everybody. This is Morgan James, and this is my music journey making my sixth studio album, Soul Remains the Same. That was one where I was listening, it came on, I was literally singing along and I was like, this is so high and so thrilling to sing. And then I thought, that original guitar lick, I was like, this would be so amazing with organ or with horns or something like that, because there's something very Motown about the song. When you go back and listen to it, if you don't think of it as AC/DC, it's very it's got that James Brown, Stax, Motown, it's got that underneath, you know what I mean? It's got this party vibe. And I think last summer, we were on a road trip with the band, as we're always in planes, trains, and automobiles. And we were driving, listening to a playlist of all this great music. And I was, one of Chris Cornell's songs came on, and then a Pearl Jam song came on, and then a Metallica song came on. And every single one I was, belting at the top of my lungs. And I was saying to Doug, God, these songs are so good. The melodies are so epic, and they're all written in female keys. Wouldn't it be so cool if this song had horns, or if this song had an organ, and the germ of the idea started to happen? All of these songs fit so beautifully with all of these like R&B classic soul elements, and it just started to really, really take shape.
Did you have a, I don't know, a vision, an expectation, and now that it's finished, how does that square with what you thought it would be?
That's a really interesting question because I always struggle with this every time I make an album. You have your dream, your vision, your expectation, and then you have your reality, right? And sometimes you have to give up on certain parts of the idea for money or time or combination therein. But no, I always have to remind myself, nobody knows what you were going for, right? And nobody knows what you were intending to make. For this album, this in so many ways exceeded my expectations because I think because I didn't write these songs, I kept my mind so much more open. I wasn't as attached to the outcome as I usually am. Therefore, I just allowed these songs to take on these different roles, right, on the album. The reason that, every other year I write a new album, and in between I do a concept album or I do a live album or I do something like this. And I think the purpose of it for me is to continue being creative and doing something that I'm not personally attached to because I didn't write it, but I'm creatively attached to it. Back to your question, I think so many of these songs exceeded my expectations, and I think so many more of them fit this genre than I ever thought possible.
I have a question about this later on, but how do you even go about thinking how a song creatively that this is so ingrained in you, but I can make it sound a little different?
So, a great artist, Jeanine Tesori, I was chatting with her about developing another project in a completely different realm, and she gave me some advice about when you're going to reboot, redo, rearrange anything, whether it's a script or a song. She said, if a piece of art is great and you scratch beneath the surface, that other version will be there. If you start scratching and it's not there, you're trying to put square peg in a round hole. And so I think sometimes when you hear covers or arrangements that feel really wrong, it feels like it's not organic to the original piece. I think with something like Plush, for instance, when you take away that production, the 90s production, the melody itself is extremely soulful.
And I feel the time's a wasting gold. So where you going to tomorrow? And I see that these are the lies to come. So would you even care? And I feel it. And I feel it. Where you going for tomorrow? Where you going with the mask I found?
Those lyrics are extremely heartfelt. That melody is extremely tender and beautiful. So, a lot of these things were hiding in plain sight. They were right beneath the surface. And so, I never ever want to do something just to be clever. I never want to do something to completely change a song that's already great. What I want to do is, I want to find a whole other set of costumes that the song can wear where it's still its authentic self underneath.
I like that set of costumes. So of these costumes, not calling them favorites because you love them all, but what are a couple that you're most fond of and share why, how you approached them, how they came out?
I'm so pleased with how Tonight Tonight turned out because that was actually the last song we added to the album. It's the final song on the album.
Believe, believe in me, believe. tonight. Tonight we'll crucify the insincere tonight. We'll make things right. We'll feel it all tonight. Tonight we'll find a way to offer up the night. The indescribable moments of your life. The impossible is possible tonight. Believe in me as I believed in you.
I think a lot about track listing and order of songs, even though a lot of people don't listen to albums that way. And so I think about what I want to leave people with. And I thought that that song was the perfect way to close the album. I'm really, really attached to Better Man. I've always loved that song. It's always moved me. I think that hearing it in a woman's voice with a woman's perspective just completely makes it all the more emotional and raw. I love how that horn and vocal arrangement turned out. You know, so many that I love. I love Chris Cornell is in my top five of all time male singers. And I knew I had to do The Day I Tried to Live. That song, you know, I wanted to really preserve the original in a lot of ways. We preserved a lot of the time signature stuff. We tried to make it, keep it really epic and really big like his, you know, so I really wanted to make that an homage to Chris. So yeah, I fell so in love with these songs. So it's hard to choose. Any given day, I have a different favorite.
I feel the same way because Tonight wasn't on my list of faves here. But then when I was listening this morning, that one caught me. It kind of gave me chills a little bit. I went, wow, I got to listen to this one a little more. How about Sad But True? What can you tell me about that one?
We played around with a lot of different Metallica songs and because we knew we had to have Metallica. I didn't want to do something like Enter Sandman. And for a while we were going with deeper cuts, but ultimately I was like, I think we should really like play into the funkiness of this melody. And if you take away the da-da-da-da-da-da, like that kind of production, and you put it like you just relax the rhythm of it and play into the more the rhythm of how he sings. He sings very rhythmically, and so if you put that in a funky R&B context, it's really like it's groovy. That was a hard one, because it's probably the hardest rocking song on the album, and that's not normal, what I'm known for. There's like a killer guitar solo. We made some nods to other Metallica songs. If you listen in the melodies that the in other instruments are playing, we have nods to a few other Metallica songs within the arrangement. So that was really, really fun to play around with.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't know what the term is, and Morgan, you can help me come up with it. You R&B'd or groovified or something. How did you, like, as I was listening to this, I'm going, how did she do that? What do you even call that? What, come up with a fun term. You R&B'd Metallica or grooved them or what is it?
We
Yeah.
soulified
Soulified. Yes. Well, soul remains the same, right? That's the key title, right?
That's the key. It's like that the title of the album is, of course, a nod to Led Zeppelin. Song remains the same. But what it says to me is at the core, it doesn't matter what you're singing, the soul of an artist remains the same. So to me, what it says is, whether I'm singing Christmas music or I'm singing my original music, whether I'm singing, it doesn't matter what the material, at the core, any authentic artist, their soul is the same. So I wanted people to, a lot of fans have said, well, I don't know if I want a rock album. And I'm like, it's not a rock album. What it is it's a soul album of songs that you wouldn't have imagined. Just keep your mind open and allow yourself to, hear songs in a new light.
Since you brought that up, for me, I love hearing new music and new versions of older music. It's like an endless curiosity, right? Not everybody has that. Some listeners are kind of stuck and they like to listen to the stuff that they grew up on or the things, the songs or albums that memories are attached to, right? And that's fine. But I like to say music can kind of, while it can take you back, it can move you forward if you let it and create new memories. But you kind of have to be open to that because you might discover a voice or a band that hits your heart and soul just as much as all those older things. A roundabout way of saying for the people that can't hear these songs a different way or might be apprehensive, how would you encourage them to do that? Maybe even with your material or someone else's in general?
So there are people that are finding, me that don't know that I write original music. And they've been saying things on various social media comment sections like, "Oh, is this just a cover artist or why are you making covers?" And then there are people that really like my original music and don't want me to do that. And then there are fans of the original music. There's always going to be a critic somewhere. And what I ask of everybody is, First of all, interpreting music is an incredibly important art, and all of my favorite artists covered other artists, and it's a part of becoming an even better writer, an even better musician, is listening to other artists and interpreting their music. So I think it's really important. Everybody from the Beatles to Led Zeppelin to Aretha Franklin to Joe Cocker have done it at the highest level. And so that's what I aspire to. When people are skeptical, I want them to give it a try. I'm pretty confident in what I do and I'm confident in what I create. And I know that if people give it a try, they're going to find something of value because I try to make things at the highest level with the most integrity. In terms of, people, there are people that originally found me through PMJ, let's say. And they, when I started making my or they started finding my own music, they said, well, I don't want that. I just want to listen to Maps, or I just want to listen to Dream On. And I say to them, just try a couple of my songs, try to find something that you can love within what I'm writing that's in my soul. And 9 times out of 10 they come back and they've fallen in love with it. And so I can't win them all. I can't get everybody on board for any of my projects, but I feel confident enough with what I create that if somebody gives it a try, they're going to hear my true intention deep down. Even the biggest metal fans, the biggest rock fans, I'm pretty confident that they'll see that I'm not trying to mess this stuff up. I'm not trying to take away from the original versions. All I'm doing is trying to hold up these versions and show what great songwriting they are, because a song that has withheld the test of time, it can go in a million versions and it's still a great song. It remains the same, right? That's the point.
So well said. How about Cult of Personality?
Cult of Personality, again, really, really heavy rocking on the album. And I don't think that we went so far away from the original. I think we shifted the riff a little bit in terms of where it sits to make it slightly more soulful.
I know your anger. I know.
That song is so incredible. It's never been more timely. It's like scarily timely right now to listen to that song. And also, in addition to, the rock space, the metal space is a place that doesn't have a lot of women, and it also doesn't have a lot of black artists. So it was really important to me to include Living Color as such an important voice in terms of black artists in that space. So I've always loved that band and loved that song. So that was a very early choice. We had to have that song.
Flying High Again, why'd you want to do that one first? How it came together, and then just the timeliness of losing Ozzy.
Well, first of all, talk about going out on top. Ozzy, I'm kind of a late in life fan of Ozzy Osbourne. I did not grow up listening to Ozzy. He just wasn't on my radar when I was a young person finding music. And so recently, I've been kind of getting into listen to him like in the last couple of years. And every time I find a new song, I text Doug. I'm like, am I like an Aussie super fan? Like I had no idea I was. And I think his whole trajectory, particularly the last couple of years and the way he finished out his last concert is just incredibly inspiring. I really loved that song because it felt just inherently funky. And so making it a James Brown tune was like, it took no work at all to do that.
story. It's something that I enjoy. 'Cause you can't see what my eyes see. And you can't be inside of me. Come on, go flying high again.
It's really like a lot of his songs are so funky and sassy. And the entire germ of this project started with an Aussie song, which is the song Changes. We actually didn't put it on the record, but the song Changes, there's an incredible cover by Charles Bradley that really got my mind open to the immense possibility of this genre of music. So, you know, a lot of Aussie songs are, they're so different. You know, you listen to like Flying High Again, and then you listen to like Changes, and you listen to No More Tears. They're so different, but something that unites them are these like epic melodies. You know, it's like, so the drama, that's what I was really attracted to. So, you know, it's one of the older songs that we chose because we were, you know, keeping it within 80s and 90s. But this is what we close our concerts with now. And it's just such a party.
You mentioned Doug a couple times, Doug Womble, your husband and collaborator. Do you want to highlight some of the tremendous band members that you have on here?
So Doug plays all the guitars and all the bass on the entire album.
Wow.
Julius Rodriguez plays all the keys. We have an incredible four horn section that we recorded in New York of incredible players. We have Ravi Best, John Ellis, Sam Chess, Eric Von Kleist. All the background vocals are done by me. And then on a couple of the songs, Doug added background vocals as well. Doug did some of the percussion. We have three incredible drummers. We have Derek Phillips, Dan Bailey out of Nashville. He plays with Father John Misty. He's Father John Misty's MD. He's an incredible rock drummer. He played on The Day I Tried to Live. George Slupik out of Memphis, who played on two of my other records. He played on Better Man and Thunderstruck. James Saez mixed the record. He also mixed my album Hunter and my album Reckless Abandon. And he was the perfect fit to mix this record because he completely understands like the 90s music and all of those references that we were making, but he also completely understands my sound and the soul sound. So he was just perfect fit. All of the there were so many collaborations from art to music. You know, when it was time to make this art, I wanted to make a nod to like rock and roll culture, like tattoo art. So I hired a tattoo artist who did a few of the designs. I wanted that Harley Davidson 1980s rock and roller feeling to be somewhere within the art. I wanted there to be black and white. I wanted it to feel grungy and sexy and effortless. And so that's, we've been working on the art and the merchandise for months. So I hope people really love what we came up with.
You make this all go away. You make it all go away. I just want something.
Something I Can Never Have in Tonight Tonight, the two duos on the album, what ended up being on the record, you're hearing full performance takes. And that's always something that I really strive for that. You can't always do it. It's not always possible, but I really, really strive. I think the best recordings are performance takes, a take that is a true performance rather than punch, 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 you know, a million different times. So with both of those songs, we did a few versions. We were punching, and then usually what I do when I, in my recording process, I get to the end and I say, okay, now let me do a full pass. So I do all the punches, I do everything. And then I say, now I want to do a full performance pass. And usually it's what gets you the best emotional payoff because you're hearing something that is truly start to finish a performance. And so I'm really proud of those and the emotional journey those songs take. I'm proud of that. I really like that. I think that that's the best way to replicate what I do live. And I think that people are fans of mine because of what I do live. You know, I mean, I love making records, but I'm a live singer. And so if I can capture what I can do live recording, that's always my goal. It's scary. It's always scary because you work so hard, you spend so much time, so much money, so much effort, and you hope people will listen. I don't think people understand the power they have. You know, people really have the power to change the trajectory of artists and music, and most of the way you can change the path of an artist is free. You can share their music, you can listen to their music, you can like them on socials, you can send a comment, you can write a review. All these ways are free to help artists. And when people write comments and send me messages of positivity or messages that they've listened to something or it affected them, I read every single comment. I read every single message. And so I think that we should just remind people that they have power. You know, they have power to send music out into the world.
I'm running out of time. I got about 7 minutes here, but I have enough time to ask you about, since our last chat, you had quite the performance with Chaka Khan. Can you just set the stage for everybody that might not have caught that?
Oh my God. So I'll do the short-ish version. I went to the Armani show in New York, and I was just a guest. I was there to see the fashion show, and it was wonderful and fun and glamorous. Everybody was there. And afterwards, toward the end of the evening, I saw that a stage had been set up. So I asked somebody on the side who was going to sing, and they said it was going to be Chaka Khan. So I freaked out because she is truly one of my favorite artists and one of our last living legends. And she came up, she had her band, her backup singers, and she started her set. And I was in the front row and I was singing every word. And so she kept looking at me, and I kept seeing her, you know, clock that I knew all the words. And she put the mic in my face and I sang along with her, and she heard my voice and she invited me up on stage. It was a complete coincidence. It was a complete New York moment. So she invited me up on stage and I came up and I sang Sweet Thing with her. And like, I swear I blacked out. I was so excited and so shocked at the whole moment. So it was truly an amazing, amazing evening. And she was so kind and she was so complimentary. And a lot of people found me from that. You know, it went viral on Vogue's TikTok and Cosmopolitan. All these different like magazines were there with their social media teams, and a lot of people found me through that. So it was a really, really fun night.
Oh, wait, what's the advice there then for fans, is to just belt the songs out as much as, I mean, not everybody has a voice like yours, Morgan. So, you know, if I was singing up there, she would look at me and have somebody get out, you know, get this guy out of here. But
No,
if you've got the talent, go ahead and sing at the show, right?
what's funny is that I really primped long and hard that day. I would like to look really, really nice. I spent so much time on my hair and my makeup and my dress. And I even thought to myself, why am I, nobody's going to be looking at me. But the lesson is somebody's always looking at you. You have to stay ready just in case Chaka Khan pulls you on stage.
I did the Fast Five with you before. I did a bunch of Christmas stuff. Like, I'm running out of questions, Morgan. This is great. But if you could, what about this? What about a song? How about a song you wish you could hear again for the first time? And if you wouldn't mind giving me a little rendition of it.
Oh my gosh, a song I could hear again for the first time. You know, I think one of the best songs ever written is God Only Knows by the Beach Boys. And it might be my number one favorite pop song ever written. And I think that, you know, it takes my breath away every time I hear the intro. It's just like immediately reduces me to tears. And so the feeling, you know, the fact that there's somebody out there who's never heard that song, right? And they get to hear it for the first time, you know. It's such an incredible sentiment and such an incredible song, and the arrangement is just so beautiful. And the other song for me, like that, is Stardust, is the Nat King Cole Stardust, you know, because I'm such a huge fan of the American Songbook and all of those original singers of the American Songbook that I kind of stand on the shoulders of, you know. But for God Only Knows, I mean, when you hear that horn intro, that French horn intro, you know. I may not always love you, But long as there are stars above you, you'll never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. I mean, tears. So yeah, I wish I could hear that song all over again for the first time.
Oh, it's fantastic. One more. How about a song that might be included in a documentary about you?
Oh my gosh. I hope some Aretha and Nina is included in a documentary about me. All these women, you know, Nina, Aretha, Mariah, all these women that I really kind of are my biggest vocal inspirations. I'm a part of that lineage. You know what I mean?
Well, Morgan, always fun to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me and for your thoughtful questions. Always a pleasure.
You've done it again. Not only another creative album, but you've set another precedent on Music Journeys. I don't know if you know this, but since our second chat a couple years ago, we've had a couple other two-timers join the club. Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Chris Stills, Sam Roberts, Bill Cohen, among them. But Morgan James, you are the first to join us three times. I mean,
I need a jacket
something.
That says...
We need to come up with something.
Yeah, exactly.
Morgan, seriously, thank you for enriching our lives with your music. Always great to chat with you.
Oh, so great to chat with you too. Thanks so much. Bye.
Regardless of what she sings or the topic of conversation, Morgan James always delivers quality, and she'll be back in Central Ohio in December as part of a holiday show with John McLaughlin. That one coming up December 9th at the Davidson Theater. MorganJamesOnline.com for all her live performance dates. We're also cajoling her to bring the Soul Remains tour to the Columbus area as well. And thank you for spending some time with Music Journeys, a part of 90.5 FM WCBE Columbus. I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.